the Americas today. My name is Kern Stanley. OAS Radio takes you inside the OAS Permanent Council as it bids farewell to the permanent representative of the United States, Ambassador Hector Morales. We feature his final address to the body, but first hear from Ambassador Isben Williams, OAS Permanent Representative of St. Kitts and Nevis and Dean of the Caucus of Caribbean Ambassadors.
Muchas gracias, embajador. Tiene la palabra el embajador Williams, St. Kitts and Nevis.
And I thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, on behalf of St. Kitts and Nevis and on behalf of CARICOM, it falls to me to place on record the pleasure and the privilege that has been ours for having had the opportunity to serve this organization and our respective countries alongside our esteemed colleague, Ambassador Hector Morales, permanent representative of the United States to the OAS. Time fleets by rather quickly. It seems not so long ago that we welcomed Hector to the fellowship of this council, but it was all of 1.5 years ago. It was June 2008 when Hector and I first broke bread in Medellin, Colombia, just after he succeeded Bob Manzanares as the U.S. representative to the OAS. Those 18 months have afforded me the opportunity to interact on many fronts with him and to appreciate his sincere and engaging style of representation and his genuineness. Ambassador Morales is an effective diplomat whose inter-American experience and commitment to his craft has been greatly admired and shall be certainly missed by his colleagues. On behalf of his country, he has engaged in all important issues before this council with his characteristically gentle eloquence, flavored with a wry wit, and with a desire for consensus, always seeking understanding and common ground. Ambassador Morales' mode of functioning aptly epitomizes the calm, sober, and engaging approach which this current U.S. administration advocates and seeks to practice, and which has resulted in the much enhanced image of this great country internationally over the past 6 months or so. And as is evidenced, according to the most recent Pew polls, by the doubling of approval ratings internationally. As to the spectrum of issues which have challenged this organization, whether it were good governance, human rights, economic equity and sustainable development, or hemispheric security and public safety, or the special concerns of small island states, on these and many other weighty issues, he has led his country's advocacy with a gentle sophistication and always with sensitivity to the interests and needs of others. Ambassador Morales, we will miss you for your holistic approach to problem solving, your admirable, if not enviable, humility, your calm under pressure, your ability to facilitate reconciliation on seemingly divergent positions, your respectful manner, and your listening skills, they too will be missed. Hector's style has hopefully been instructive, if not infective, to us with regard to how we can be more than national advocates. He has hopefully challenged us to consider and to recognize and to embrace the concept of interdependence and to place it high on our agenda as we strive to make the hemisphere a safer, more prosperous and peaceful beacon of hope on the world stage. Hector, we wish you and your wife, Sheldon, all the best and Godspeed as you navigate further exciting and fulfilling ventures in Washington. It is good to know that you will still be in the neighborhood, so we will engage you wherever you lodge. CARICOM looks forward to working closely with your successor, as we have with you, and we certainly wish you every success. It's left only for me to say adieu, adios, ate logo. Or as we say in the Caribbean, more time. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
That was Ambassador Isben Williams, OAS permanent representative of St. Kitts and Nevis, and Dean of the Caucus of Caribbean Ambassadors. Now, Ambassador Hector Morales, in his final address as OAS permanent representative of the United States.
First of all, I am I'm very grateful for these kind words. My fellow ambassadors have served as guides and, in a few cases, even paragons. Your experience and adroitness have helped shape my actions, and you've taught me a lot. So for all of that, I thank you very much. As you heard, the list of topics and challenges that I've had the honor to work on in the OAS is long, but my tenure here is not. I've only been at the organization, as you heard, for 16 months. And if you compare this to our friend who we said farewell to on Wednesday, career diplomat Manuel Maria Casares, and many of you seated around this table this afternoon, I am only a gifted amateur. Many of you have devoted your working lives to becoming true experts on the diplomatic, social, and economic issues that the OAS handles. And I want to say how much I admire you for your commitment and for your service to the region. Today, I'm not inclined to reflect on overarching policies or to advocate for a particular issue or to outline some grand way forward for our organization. This is the despedida of one individual. And to quote Manuel Maria, except for this moment, all our interventions are on behalf of our respective member states. So today, I will not speak for the United States of America, but rather about my personal experience at the OAS. I thought I'd talk about three things: what I expected, what really happened, and what I learned. What did I expect? Well, the better question might be, what was I led to believe? Before arriving at the OAS, I worked at the Inter-American Development Bank and had become accustomed to its rhythms and to its methods. I began to learn about the OAS when my nomination was announced, a learning process that is rather like cramming for a final exam. I was told that the work of the OAS was very measured and that the schedule was predictable. I was told also that the hours were very reasonable, and the members of the Permanent Council, even more so. I was encouraged to pursue outside activities such as public outreach, which would be possible because of the relative brevity of my workday. I knew that my arrival would be 9 months before the U.S. presidential elections, and I knew that no matter who won, the new administration would want to name its own person. So I anticipated that I would leave this job in January of 2009. What really happened? They must have been talking about some other organization because none of that came true. In the brief time that I've been here, so much has happened, much of it unforeseen. As you heard from the Secretary General, in the last 16 months, we've dealt with the Colombia-Ecuador crisis, the political face-off in Bolivia, the extraordinary cycle of elections and observation reports, the membership status of Cuba, the current constitutional conflict in Honduras. Oh, and in our spare time, we have been also working on the summit of the Americas. And yes, two general assemblies as well. So what did I learn from all of this? Was it just how to work with little or no sleep? It turns out that what drives this organization is not sleep, but intensity and personal commitment, starting with the Secretary General, Jose Miguel Insulza, and the Assistant Secretary General, Albert Ramden. The time that their staffs and all of the employees of the organization devote is impressive. I've seen the same dedication and professionalism from my colleagues at the mission, and I'm very proud that they're all here today, and from the State Department, my colleague Tom Shannon, who is here with us, as well as the other branches of our government. As a U.S. citizen, I am very proud of the quality of career employees, both Foreign Service and Civil Service, that represent our interests around the world. As a private citizen, I am honored to have worked for two administrations in public service. This experience has broadened my perspective and deepened my love for the region. The main building at the State Department is named for President Harry S. Truman, who many know as our most outspoken and no-nonsense president. Assessing his own experience in this city, he once said, "If you want a true and loyal friend in Washington, get a dog." Well, I'm glad to report that since then, times have changed. I count all of you not only as my colleagues, but also as my friends, although some of you can definitely bark. This friendship is enriched by the tremendous cultural, social, and ethnic diversity of our hemisphere. Nevertheless, we have the ability to work together through dialogue and respect. I have learned that collective responsibility means and what it can accomplish. I have also learned that democracy and development go hand in hand. Poverty and inequality transcend borders, but they can be alleviated through multilateral solutions, and the OAS is well positioned to take the lead in doing so. We hear much about national patrimony. I have learned that we also have hemispheric patrimony: democracy, human rights and fundamental freedoms, and the rule of law. It has been a great privilege to take part in the Inter-American system, to play a small role in furthering these goals. I am an individual who has helped forge consensus on many occasions. And I've learned that the enduring value of this form of decision making, its value for this organization and for this hemisphere, cannot be overstated. I will leave you with one phrase that I heard many years ago when I was at the IDB, which I think in some way captures much of what I've said. It's in Spanish, so if you'll permit me, it goes as follows: paciencia y prudencia, verbal continencia, no mostrar mucha ciencia, presencia o ausencia, según conveniencia. Muchas gracias, muito obrigado, merci beaucoup. I thank you for this opportunity from the bottom of my heart.
That was Ambassador Hector Morales, addressing the OAS Permanent Council for the last time as permanent representative of the United States. My name is Kern Stanley. This is the Americas Today.